season. I'm with a few panelists tonight. We've got Dan from Dartmouth. How's it going, Dan?
Konnichiwa, or konbanwa, I guess, at this time of night. So.
Indeed. And from Newfoundland, we got Mike with us, Mustang774. How's it going, Mike?
Good, Jim. How's everybody out there?
Doing good, my friend. And, of course, I am here in Halifax. And we're just getting set up here. If you're listening to the live stream, we're just going to get ourselves set up. We also have the podcast edition, so you can subscribe to the podcast. We got a few topics here you can follow on the YouTube page. If you get the topics, we'll discuss those. Use Twitter. Use the FN Hangout hashtag.
Yeah.
And you can chat with each other. There's also a live chat on the YouTube page. The live chat is only live, so we won't be able to see the comments afterwards. But you can also check out the show page on avoidingchores.com, but definitely the YouTube live stream is what you want to watch here. So, boys, let's start off the way that we normally start off, which is what we are drinking tonight. So, Mike, what are you drinking tonight?
I've got the Yellow Belly Pale Ale.
Oh,
pale ale. It's 4.5% ABV. It's very nice.
Can you describe a little bit of the tasting notes in terms of what do you taste when you take a sip?
It's got a little bit of hop bitterness. I'm not sure what hops are used in it. It's nice and smooth. Light carbonation, I guess. Very light in color.
All right. Excellent. Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
Before I say that, one thing that just actually popped in my head with the Twitter hashtag of the hashtag FN Hangout, did you choose it to actually be the FN Hangout? Listen to the FN Hangout, man.
Well, that came out afterwards, but I just wanted to find a hashtag that nobody else has used from like India or something so that nobody
just
hijacked.
It just sounds like you're a little pissed off. It's like, why isn't anyone paying attention to the FN Hangout?
A lot of anger post-Christmas to New Year's.
Anyway, I walked into the beer store and my nerd sense started tingling. Amongst other things. And so I saw Garrison has the Vulcan Ale.
Oh, cool.
You know, with your wonderful live long and prosper. Or you use the Force, Picard. I think that's what he says, right? That's what Spock says. And it's 5.4%, and it is quite lovely.
So if you some of the tasting notes. What do you taste? What do you get? What do you get out of it as soon as you sip it?
My palate is more like a pass and fail versus a dictating the hint of nuttiness or whatever. But I will tell you, it's dried. It's not linger much onto the tongue, I find. And it's definitely, if I had to put this in the category, it goes into the red, which actually follows the label on the bottle itself.
All right, and I am drinking, I have quite the lineup tonight. Actually, you know what, let's pre-show, I actually started up the evening after walking the dog and stuff like that. I got to mention this because it is such a good beer. This is from Dieu du Ciel in Quebec, La Grande Noisette, which is a Russian Imperial Stout, 9%.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in a little bottle. You can get it for about $4 here locally. And it's a nice coffee taste. I mean, it took me like an hour and a half to polish this off. This is something that you want to really take your time to drink. The alcohol level doesn't creep up on you unless you drink it fast. If you drink it fast, it will creep up on you. But if you just sip it here and there and just really take your time, like I said, an hour and a half, you really can enjoy it. And what I'm drinking right now from Tanamogush, Deception Bay IPA. West Coast IPA, 6.5%. This is your grapefruit, very dry, smacks you in the face, hops kind of IPA. Actually, really good. Got this also here locally, so you can find this at Bishop's Cellar. I'm really enjoying this a lot. And I got a third one, which we'll probably do once we're in the halfway point. But this is basically my drinking for tonight here for my for my beer. So on the live YouTube chat here, Lori was saying here, where can I get that Stout Harvest? No, get that at Bishop Cellar, Lori. And why is Lori chatting? She should be here in Hangout, panelist.
Yeah, we have to internet shame her.
I don't know what's going on. The invite's still there. I don't know. And Lee's commenting too. He said the Vulcan Ale is okay. Lee, why are you commenting, son? You got the notification. You should be jumping in. But that's okay. I'm sure people got stuff to do here on a Friday. Let's see here. Lee also says here the Red Session IPA stuff is just marketing BS. It's just a red ale like Red IPA. Are we talking about the Vulcan Ale?
Yeah, I believe he's talking about this.
Yeah, Garrison does that on a few. There was another one that Garrison did. I think it was a Stanfield's one, whatever, which was essentially the tall ship. So,
like I said, my nerd sense was tingling, so that's why I had to buy it. And, you know, good to them for marketing.
Get it for the label. Huh?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks back, I had a Rickards Red IPA, and it was quite nice. It was kind of surprising.
All right, so let's start with the first topic here. We got a number of people watching here. So let's start with the first one, which is it snowed on Wednesday. So let's talk about the snowstorm. A lot of people took advantage of social media to just complain. And ironically, I took the day off. So it was nice that I took basically a half day to shovel out. It wasn't a lot of snow, really. It wasn't necessarily heavy snow or what have you, but I think what we're getting into, now, I find this year, snow removal on my street and where I need to go in Bedford has been pretty good compared to last year. I have noticed that some of the sidewalks, kind of odd, looks nice and cleared, and like I'm just following the route, and all of a sudden, it just stopped being cleared. There's still like a foot of snow there with all the plowed snowed in from the street. So that kind of stuff, I can understand people getting on it. Dan, you're showing your lawn.
If you can call a lawn. This is a problem and it's like the snow plow or the sidewalk plow going on our sidewalk in our neighborhood. And I don't know if it's like a wrecking ball or some sort of game to them. It's like how many driveways or properties and they can actually damage. And they really gouged it. Like, I don't know if you can tell in the picture there, but it's probably like the trench is about, I'd say, a good 6 inches deep where they just, you know, wrecked the driveway. And that's a big pile of sod that it just dumped because he realized afterwards, like, oh, shit, Oh, fiddly stee, I've messed up, and I have to conceal the evidence, and scoop, scoop, scoop. So, terrible. So, yes, I am one of the few, 150 that sent a complaint in saying, what are we going to do about this?
Dan, here in Mount Pearl, St. John's area, if the snowplows dig up your land like that, as soon as the springtime comes, they'll just drive around and have a look and make notes, and they'll just come and fix it.
Yeah, which is great and all, but I'm going to be trying to sell my house probably this year. So, yeah.
You need to get it done.
Me no likey.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, there's the people that complain about snow removal and or the fact that there's a lack thereof, and I'm in the category of just extremely overzealous and uncareful snow removal, which is just as problematic.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else has really faced that, like yourself, Jim, or you, Mike, if you had that problem.
Yeah, I live on a turn, and just about every year I get a gouge similar to what you had, probably not quite as deep.
They
fix it every spring.
Yeah, because the city expropriated land to allow the expansion for the Blackberry building behind my house several years ago, I don't have any lawn in front of my house. It's all asphalt. The downside is I got 3 lanes of traffic getting plowed on my side, and that makes removal extremely hard because we share a driveway between me and other duplex, and we got basically 6 car widths, or maybe 7, of three lanes of road of slush, and it's, you know, so, you know, we really only got maybe this much snow, but once, you know, once the plow goes through, you know, you get over a foot, 2 feet of snow here. So, but again, the problem was, and I had to go out at 5 o'clock appointment. I decided to walk the dog, so I drove down to Bedford and stuff, parked and walked. But the problem, and Lori mentioned this here on the live chat here, they're still using these freaking Bobcat stuff that is meant for lawn manicure, landscaping, making the sidewalks a sheet of ice. I did not bring my Mount Everest ice spikes shoes, and I just wore regular boots, and I was slipping and sliding. The dog was all pent up full of energy. You try to hold back a 100-pound black lab that wants to say hi to everybody. I mean, it was. I was just skating through, and I was getting really frustrated. And, you know, why are these Bobcats creating essentially ice rinks on the sidewalks and not having salter or gravel attachments on the back so that when they do pass, they put something down so that there is some traction? And I think this is the problem for a lot of them, a lot of people.
Yeah.
But as far as the actual, like, the roads themselves, I'd have to, like, for that snow blast, typically, you know, you'd get the blast and then maybe 6 to 8 hours later, you start getting the passes coming through. And I have to say, they were on the ball. They were at least about 2-3 hours after the worst of the snow was hitting.
Oh, yeah. Same thing here, too. 6 hours after the storm, we were pretty much clear. The road was essentially really good. The problem for this storm, and we do have a lot of storms this way, is that they come overnight. They start at maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night, and they're basically done by 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. A lot of people didn't have their streets plowed out, so they couldn't get to work. It's nice to have their driveway all cleared out, but they couldn't even get up the street because you had, like, a foot of snow or whatever. And I think that is one of the big problems over the last couple of years is that, you know, it's all, you know, standards are fine, but we used to be able to at least get out of the driveway, get out of our subdivision or road or street, at least one pass. But there were, I've seen stuff at like 9 o'clock later that morning, 3 hours, 4 hours after the storm, and a plow hasn't been by at all. And how do you expect people to get to work? How do you expect people to find their bus stop, which is probably on a snow route, and figure that out. So, GC Storm, good evening, guys. Drinking the latest from sea level tonight, the New Moon Farmhouse Ale. Oh, Roger, buddy, Farmhouse Ale. Can you type into the chat? What do you think of it? And maybe if you had the North Farmhouse, can you give us some little contrast and compare? That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Lori was saying here the sidewalks were ridiculous. Also, salt came 24 hours later, which is way too long for that. Like, it should be laid down, like, right away. Lee was mentioning here black labs are the worst. They love the snow and ice and want you to join in. That is so true. That is so true. All right, folks, you can comment via Twitter, FN, or as Dan said, FN Hangout, hashtag.
That's a good one.
It wasn't planned, but hey, it works.
You know, it works.
You know, multiple purposes. All right, so let's move on to the next topic here, which is fat bikes. No, it's not overweight bikes, kids. Hang on.
They're pretty wild looking.
Yeah.
No, hang on. No.
Real bikes have curves too, you know.
All right, so some of you may be aware of this. This is essentially a new type of bike that has been, the last couple of years. It's been developed, I guess, in Alaska. It is made to go on the snow. You have these really huge tires, oversized tires, and essentially it's a mountain bike with it. So, and a lot of parks are using or allowing fat bikes to get on the trails this winter or on certain trails because of the fact that these tires are so wide, they don't chew up the trail as much. So this is doing two things. out here locally, because of the type of winter we get, fat bikes are becoming a new winter activity. So you can go on and you can get on any snowmobile trail, any cross-country ski trail, snowshoeing trail. Depending on the type of snow, the you know, and the depth, you can actually just break trail yourself. You can, you know, basically you can go on the beach, you know, on fine sand, you'll float. You can play around with the tire pressure, you know, keep the pressure low so you get the wider footprint. And, you know, it's a really interesting way to go here. Now, Lori says, you know, give me a Ski-Doo. But you know what? Ski-Doos are noisy. And what happens when you get into really fluffy snow, Lori? You have to get off, rock it, and try to get it out of the bringing, you know, snow if you get stuck.
Yeah, but the Ski-Doo at least has a proper cup holder for your hot chocolate.
And electric hand warmer.
Yeah. Well, you could probably get an electric hand warmer for that, but I think they got to get a better ad campaign than calling a fat bike. That's terrible.
It has caught on because it's been basically been used for the last few years.
Now if it was fat bike with the pH instead, you know, like how the kids talk.
Yeah.
Obviously,
my bike is fat.
I was snowshoeing last winter, and I was a good ways in the woods, and it was just light, fluffy snow. It wasn't a trail or anything. And I see these tire tracks. I thought it was something on a dirt bike or something first. Ooh. And that's what it was.
Yeah. In New Brunswick and Fredericton, can I bring up the Twitter? There was a great tweet here. In Fredericton, I guess there's a lot of these bikes in Fredericton no, I can't bring it up here. But they had at Grimross, the craft brewery, there was like 12 of these bikes chained up against the brewery, and they're in like an industrial park. And you can imagine, you know, snow and ice and all that stuff. So you had a team of people on bicycles coming up to your craft brewery to go to your tasting room and stuff like that. So it's definitely taken off. The downside of these bikes is that they are probably twice the price of what you would pay for a mountain bike. So you're looking at least $1,200. There are some new models coming out this spring or should be out now that should be under $1,000, but they're not cheap. And, you know, just to let you know right now, like it's something that does require a little bit of an investment here.
Oh, there actually is a fat-bike.com. So for all your fat bike needs.
Well, I tell you, you look at some of the videos on YouTube and, you know, people just like riding them and stuff. And
there's a tremendous amount of manufacturers, too. It looks like that has their skin in the game in this one.
Yeah, and Rally is the latest one that they're pumping out bikes. So.
But, yeah, there's fat bike destinations and This week, or for December 31st, they were suggesting Long Beach, Washington as your fat bike destination.
A lot of parks who want people to come in during the winter are opening up their trails or cross-country ski trails to these bikes. So people who don't necessarily cross-country ski or downhill ski, you can use your bike because it doesn't chew up the groomed trails and doesn't really hurt anything because of the width of the tires. Jasper, I think Banff, they're allowing them this year. I think there's a couple of national parks in Quebec, Kouchibouguac in New Brunswick, which is the article that I got here. So I expect to see a lot more. And really, it just gives people another excuse to do something in the winter. So like me, my snowshoes are in process of being relaced.
Did you start that last year?
Yeah, like I said, in progress.
I wonder if it's just like if it's harder for any sort of turning in that because it's more, a greater surface area for when you're actually doing any turning in that.
No, not from what I've been seeing. I've been watching quite a few YouTube videos of just basically going down mountain bike trails and the tight turns and stuff, and I don't see any difference in terms of riding here, so it's pretty interesting. All right, Lori here says she grew up in Corner Brook. Whatever, just because there, you got fluffy snow in Corner Brook, Newfoundland. We got fluffy snow in New Brunswick, too. And she can handle the skidoos and fluff. So I tend to deal with fluffy snow with a tractor. That's what I grew up with. A tractor with a snowblower attachment to it. All right, so let's move on to the next topic, boys, which is... Oh, this is so good. I love this one. Oak Island. Everybody heard about Oak Island here in Nova Scotia. You know, apparently Captain Kidd has hidden treasure in the island. There's booby traps. There's freaking Pirates of the Caribbean shit going on this island. There's Knights Templar has the Holy Grail hidden in the island. There's a whole bunch of stuff. You know, whatever's lost, it's here in Oak Island, Nova Scotia. Not North Carolina, Nova Scotia. So the latest fun stuff, somebody discovered... Oh, I love this one here. Oh, my God. Somebody discovered a Roman sword on Oak Island. A sword that apparently was 1,800 years old. That design was 1,800 years ago. Romans, who are not known for boats, sailed across the Atlantic and left a sword. But guess what? I happened to be on Amazon today and...
I don't know. I think this is like something that got taken off the wall of an Olive Garden, and they decided to like hide it there.
And you see below other Roman swords, they look completely different than this thing, especially the handle. I mean, you gonna tell me that Roman soldiers had this type of handle?
It looks in too good a shape, isn't it? Corroded and
You know what I mean? I mean,
like, you take cannons that you find underwater off shipwrecks. They're all encrusted in concretion, basically, from everything that's underwater. And when they first bring them up, they don't look like cannons, right?
Yeah.
No.
So I guess this guy, from what I can see on Reddit or some people who have a little bit more history here, I guess he...
Avid Olive Gardener.
It likes to shop at Amazon with artifacts and try. Now, it's funny here because there is a TV show. I don't have cable, so apparently there's a Discovery show about Oak Island mysteries some shit going on. Well, it's funny because the show, because apparently they did find something. They found, a spear? They found something. They actually did find something, whatever. So
a Roman spear or just like a... an ancient native spear.
Maybe a native spear. But...
Okay. That's a little bit more believable, I would say.
It's anyway, Oak Island is just a great... Okay, now Lee here comments here on the chat. So he says, not impossible. Not saying the Romans would have come here, but plenty of stuff was spread around Europe. After the empire died, Vikings or Euro royalty could have come across with old Roman sword. True, there is that story that wasn't there a British king that came to Cape Dore or Parsborough? You know, there's supposed to be an iron cross on Partridge Island or something like that. So
I know. All I can think is that one dude from the History Channel is like, I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Nova Scotia, where it's like they figure out a Chinese settlement or something and have Kelly's Mountain somewhere. I saw some show about something like that. I don't know.
Look, all I can say, guys, and the people who are watching here, all I can say is, all right, here's this artifact. Look at the handle. And look on Amazon.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Amazon is quick to clone the artifact.
Yeah.
Nope.
Stu, hey, buddy. It mentions here on the chat here, it's a TV show, The Curse of Oak Island. It's like finding Bigfoot. Never find much. Just a lot of walking. Just kind of like X-Files episodes, just walking in the woods and whatever, using the cell phone, right? All right, boys, we're at the halfway point, and let's quickly do a round of what we're drinking tonight. And the folks who are watching via the YouTube chat or via the effin' hangout hashtag on Twitter, you can...
You're going to say it like that every time now.
I love it.
I've opened the flood doors.
I did it's not good, set up that hashtag for that. Devin, let us know what you're drinking here. So, Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I just polished off the Vulcan Ale. Burp. So now I'm moving on to the wonderful Giantess Barley Wine.
Damn, son.
I haven't opened it up yet, as you can tell by the labeling there. But the key thing to note there is, I don't know if it shows up well, but I believe an 11%.
Like, do you want to do like an all-nighter or something, or what?
Not intended, but we'll see what happens.
Excellent. All right, Mike, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm just about to finish off my the camera here. Yellow Belly Pale Ale.
All right. You got anything on deck, or?
Yeah, I've got several selections in the fridge. I got a Garrison's Brew Spare I might try next.
All right, excellent. I have moved on from the Tatamagush Deception Bay West Coast IPA, which was really tasty. Got something that is brand new, launched in Halifax from PEI, Upstreet Brewing. This is their do-gooder. American Pale Ale. This is 5.5%. And I actually quickly sampled their four or five beers that they have. They have mostly light stuff, and then this and a white IPA is their kind of their heavier end of the spectrum. They're doing about 4 days of activities at various bars and tastings and food pairings in Halifax. If you're in town, you can do that. What I really like about their bottle is they have a nice tasting profile here. So you can
That's nice.
Right, and this reminds me a lot of the bottle from Dieu du Ciel. From the Grand Noisard, but they also have a little bit of a kind of a profile here too. Mm-hmm. So really cool to have a really nice American Pale Ale from these guys. This is probably the favorite of the ones that I sampled here, so you can get this also at Bishop's here. Lee is drinking a Crafty Jack from Boxing Rock.
Mm, yeah, saw those in the big store display for that.
Well, I stopped by Boxing Rock last week, went out for a little hike at Kedgy Seaside, and I stopped by Boxing Rock and tried to see what they got. So I think I brought home their Imperial Brown Ale, and I kind of sampled the Darkness, which I don't think I liked last year's edition very much, but this year for a black IPA it was actually really good. So I should have brought that, but I think we can have that here, so it's not a big one here. But other than that, they didn't have a lot going on here. I thought they had. I thought their establishment was more tasting room samplers kind of set up, rather like Big Spruce. They have a whole separate room, and you can get your trays, and you can sample the beer at your leisure. This one here is a little bit different, but
and I also still haven't like tried they're... anything.
Yeah, go ahead.
I still haven't tried any of those places. Like I've been in Halifax area for close to 5 years, and I still have yet to set foot into any of the breweries. Shame on me.
You gotta do it.
Shame.
You gotta do it soon, my man.
I know. Time is for those who don't know, I'm probably going to be leaving the area within the next 6 months or so. So I'm going to start scratching out those items off the to-do list shortly.
Yeah.
Halifax got a good beer scene.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to the next topic here, which is, this is from Dan. This is like Dan's creepy story. From Dan. So, what is this?
Okay, first of all, as a warning, this is not Japanese in any sort of way or fashion, so this has no sort of hentai or tentacle relation in that sense. It's a mom that is afraid of her son growing up so quickly and her love of knitting and decided to combine the two of them together to capture her son's youthful size and appearance in knitting form. So there's a whole selection of photographs of her standing beside her ungodly Lovecraftian concoction, and it is so, oh God.
It is.
It's without description.
It's like Michael Myers with, you know, knitted format.
That's
what this is, right? Yes. Emo Michael Myers.
Just to say, people, this is not a child wearing a knitted outfit covering his face in some sort of, like, gimp thing. This is actually, like, a full freestanding, posable knitted action figure.
Oh, my God.
That's really, really creepy.
All right, so she's from Amsterdam, which maybe could explain this.
Yeah.
But like I was saying earlier, like, you know what, Japan figured this out. They don't knit. They got these dolls, you know, in plastic.
They've got pillows.
Dolls. They got life-size dolls, and they got these lot smaller dolls, which I went down a rabbit hole one night, and I was a mistake. But I mean, this is just plain creepy.
No, yeah. This is something. Oh. Could you imagine you're asleep and you hear, you know, child voices, and then you kind of open your eyes and roll to your side, think, "Oh, it's my kid trying to wake me up," and you see that hanging on the edge of the bed. My God, if like no one has a sphincter strong enough to not release their bowels at that moment.
It looks like it turned into a Chucky really quick.
Yeah, it's so.
Oh my God.
Oh. I mean, good for her that she found a passion for her knitting in a ungodly sort of direction.
Textile enthusiast she is.
Yeah.
I know people that cross stitch. Healthy cross stitching.
I did cross stitch kids.
Oh, well, if you hang it on the wall afterwards, I don't know, but still.
Roger on the chat says, Mike's Pale Ale reminded me that I enjoyed a few glasses of Yellow Belly Stout when I was in St. John's last month.
Yes. He was lucky enough to get here and try some.
Well, like I said earlier in our first beer segment here, if you can get your hand on this, Dieu du Ciel, their Momentum Series, a Grande Noisseur, Russian Imperial Stout, 9%. Get this. Unfortunately, it's $4 a bottle if you're not in the area. But
by the way, what sort of Russian wizard is that? Like leading, hovering over the troops.
Is that like Gorbachev? A really angry Gorbachev?
I don't know, because the era doesn't seem right for him there.
No, eh?
Yeah, it's definitely not Stalin. Mm. So I don't know what they're trying to represent with that, but it looks, ominous, to say the least.
But I've had this a couple times in the bottles. Really good. I had it from the source when I was in Montreal a couple months ago at the Dieu du Ciel Brewery in downtown Montreal. So if you can get your hands on it, son, go get it.
We get that brand here, but I haven't seen that that version.
Well, this is part of their Momentum series, and Justin told me once this Momentum, this is their one-off series, or they'll only do it a specific time of year.
Okay.
I think somebody can correct me if I have this wrong, but hey, you can see it. Go get it. All right. Lee says here that it's ironic, so much knitting that she's obviously become unwound. Hey, we're going to talk about something a little bit more serious now, guys.
This is something that's earth-shattering and that everyone with a internet access account should be concerned about.
Internet access, Netflix access, specifically Canadian users that use a VPN or other VPN services to get the American version of Netflix are... All-you-can-eat access is going to come to an end at some point this year. During CES, the CEO of Netflix basically is saying here that they're going to crack down on these VPN services. Canada being a big one, big user. So, yeah. Now, ironically, we're not using the American Netflix at the moment because the child prefers Paw Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And Paw Patrol is not on the American Netflix, is only on the Canadian Netflix. Vice versa, when she decides that she wants to watch Danielle's Neighborhood, which is Danielle the Tiger from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
There's a whole new animated series on there. Actually, it's actually...
Is that a female one? Or because I thought it was just Daniel.
No, it's Daniel. It's a male tiger.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? That show is actually really good. Mm-hmm. That is on the American Netflix. Mm-hmm. But if you have access to PBS, you'll be able to get that too. Anyway, for those who have kids, Daniel's Neighborhood, if you want to change from Paw Patrol... Mm-hmm. God.
But actually, my kids are addicted to the Angry Birds cartoon shorts, so that's...
Well, you know, we started a few episodes of that, and she wasn't quite into that. So. Mm. But anyway, the biggest thing, so now I'm like, you know, we're using Netflix Canada, and we're watching the shows, and the way that we have it set up here in the house, we got the Apple TV. The Apple TV is set up for American Netflix. When you go on it, you see stuff on Apple TV that you don't see in Canada. There's a whole bunch of new squares and stuff like that. So PBS, A&E, and all that stuff.
Is there a Trump channel?
Not yet. It's coming.
Okay.
So we also have a Google Chromecast on the TV. So that is keyed into the Canadian Netflix. So from our phones... We're just Chromecasting Netflix from our phone, so it's just easier to do a search and just play it and all that. We've been doing a lot of Chromecast lately, and I asked the missus, do you want to save $8 a month for this VPN service? Because it might just go away, right? So she's like, eh.
I'll be honest. Everything that our family is typically concerned with, we've been able to get via Canadian access content and not have to go through VPNs. So yeah. We're pretty fortunate. So this decision with Netflix blocking VPN access to other markets honestly doesn't affect our family. That being said, I don't think this is something that Netflix is chasing down because it's an issue for them directly. I think this really comes down again to the content providers that really are trying to control where their media is going to. Your ABCs, your NBCs, your A&Es, HBOs, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think Netflix doesn't give a rat's ass. All it wants at the end of the day is its $8. It's the people supplying the content that's really putting up a fuss.
Mm. Lee mentions here on the chat, said that there will always be a workaround or just pure piracy. Netflix is shooting themselves in the foot with this one. This region-locked bullshit with Netflix and DVDs needs to be a thing of the past. I don't know if it's region-locked or more than just pure licensing, because we see how movies come off on Netflix. I mean, like seasons of Archer is on the Canadian Netflix months before the American one, or vice versa, or, you know, all these movies that just appear. You go to Netflix France, and you get all the Pixar and all the Marvel movies on there, and you get nothing for North America. Yeah.
FYI. You know what's amazing, too, though?
Use that VPN and go to Europe, and you'll find some really cool stuff.
If there is a plugin for... what's it called? Plex. Actually, is it Plex or XBMC? Whatever, the Kodi one. And it's called Genesis. And it's able to grab things that are even live content, like stuff that's hasn't even been released anywhere else yet. So that's another sort of workaround if you want to look at it. So Google Kodi, which is the XBMC replacement, and Genesis, and you'll see ways to actually get some even further content too.
Okay. Let's see. Lee also mentions here that Hola is a great VPN, and it's free. He's been pushing that a lot, so definitely give that a try. HOLA. And he also says here, well, licensing and region locking both come from the same people, the film companies. They are living in the past, just like newspapers, book publishers, TV. I mean, we'll have to add this topic for another time here about, you know, old media versus new media. It's like, you know, the
That's a whole show.
The revenue model, the business model is just disintegrating for these old businesses.
Hey, stuff. Man, media to the people, man.
folks, if you are on Twitter watching this live, effing hangout hashtag.
Effing hangout. Get on the effing hangout.
Which is FN hangout.
Yeah, like we said, FN hangout.
Or if you're on the, if you're watching live on the YouTube page, you can watch that. Now, I have not really checked the Wedding Drawers page, but I didn't get any notifications yet, so I doubt anybody's on there.
Oh, I'm here and Lee's commenting.
Yeah. And the twatter's been pretty quiet as well on that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's busy because you know, there's people working polls tonight. You know, there is municipal elections going on here in Halifax. So,
which ones are up for grabs?
There's one in your hood.
There is. I haven't seen a single sign in any properties.
Well, the snow.
No. Even before all the snow, I didn't see it. I haven't seen, like, okay, I realize I've been out of the country for a long time, but at least for the past 3 weeks, I've seen no sort of presence in your face in regards to this.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But there's elections tonight, and people work in polling offices, so there you go. I'm just telling you.
It's not showing up in my Twitter trending page, so don't know.
Well, you know what's showing up my trending page, which is John Scott, the NHL goon, tough guy, who was the fan favorite, voted for the NHL All-Star Game, got demoted to the AHL, got demoted to Mike's backyard in Newfoundland from Arizona. Hello. And then tonight, word that he got added on to a trade with the Montreal Canadiens. That is just a crazy way to just make sure that he does not get on the All-Star game, which is hilarious. So, however, the other thing that's trending on Twitter tonight is hashtag I'm a bad Canadian because.
Oh.
When I hear the music for Coach's Corner, I change the channel.
Oh, that is a bad Canadian. Bad Canadian. You're going to rub their nose in that.
Oh, it's another one here. Who actually calls beanies toques?
Beanies?
Beanies, yeah.
Beanies a beanie and a toque is a toque.
You know, when you go in online stores, they call them beanies, not toques.
Yeah.
Winter hat.
It's called winter hat.
Okay, I'm a bad Canadian because I don't watch or follow hockey anymore. I don't care about that. But
actually, I'm a bad Canadian because I don't really care about Tom Cochran. I have to agree with that one. I really don't.
Or what's the guy here? Kim Mitchell.
Or Rita McNeil. Or, you know, most Canadian.
Well, artists. I'm skeptical that the life is a highway and feel reluctant to drive it all night long.
I'm a bad Canadian because I honk at Canada geese.
I tell you, I am a bad Canadian because hashtag on Twitter. I'm a bad Canadian because I ignored the Degrassi reboot.
Actually, this one I don't get it. It says I'm a bad Canadian because I don't own a parka. I think that's so true though, because as a Canadian, you're like, you don't need a parka. It's only like -20 outside. What are you talking about?
I own only one plaid lumberjack shirt and a couple dozen aloha shirts, Hawaiian shirts.
Now, actually, this one could be an interesting one. I'm a bad Canadian because I don't really care for Tim Hortons. Does that really make you a bad Canadian? Because I think Tim Hortons is overrated. I think Tim Hortons only has its strength due to its actual physical presence on our landscape, not because its product is actually good.
It's terrible. Coffee's terrible.
I agree.
Thank you.
Hey, the water in my bottle never freezes. Wait, that's just because it's vodka.
This one's a... Because this one's actually bugs me. I'm a bad Canadian because I say Z, not Zed. Blasphemy! It is Zed as God has pronounced it to be, not Z.
Dan.
Out of here.
Dan.
Out of here.
Dan.
Yes.
the band with three guys, Frank Beard and the two other guys, Billy Gibbons and Dusty Hill, the Long Beards. What's the name of that band?
ZZ Top.
ZZ yep. Top. No, they're okay. They are ZZ Top simply because they are an American band, and I will give them their ZZ. But if that was a Canadian band and they decided to call them ZZ Top, I'm going to assume it's for ironic purposes only. Because I don't know.
I'm coming from Newfoundland, so like we're sort of like not really part of Canada because Canada starts at Halifax and ends at Vancouver.
Oh no, no, join us. Join well, 1950, pal.
No, but. Cross Canada stuff, always stops in Halifax. Cape Breton doesn't even belong.
It doesn't help the fact that you just have to tap on an extra half hour for time zonage.
Yeah,
I mean, like come 10, on. Come on. 10, a half 10, hour?
It's 10:46 here already.
Why don't you make it like 15 minutes instead?
All right, so Lee here on the chat says, stripper poles, what's up for grabs there? And then he says, I'm a proud, bad Canadian, hate hockey, hate curling, hate the Queen. Not too keen on poutine, but you know what, Lee? You need to get some good poutine. There's really no good poutine out here. You need to get inland a little bit. He also says, for Tim's, their coffee is crap. It is just crap. You can find it quickly.
Tim's agree.
Coffee is crap. It is terrible.
I agree.
Oh, I had it the other day. It's Lee also says, it is Zed. I guess I'm 1% Canadian then.
Good job. Good job, Lee.
Well, I, living on the border with Maine, all my TV was American TV. So I watched Sesame Street, Zoom, Electric Company, 321 Contact. So it's Z.
Do you know what's the sign of you being a good Canadian? If every time you type something and the autocorrect tries to kick in and remove the U from your words and you kind of give it the angry stink eye, that's the sign of a true Canadian.
When you have to type flavor three times.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, fuck you, Microsoft. It's going to be O-U-R.
Color. Flavor.
Yeah.
Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, center, yeah.
Roger says, Miles into the spruce, or Mike's into the spruce. I still have a bottle from the 2012 vintage.
Yes.
Buddy, 2012, that, I believe that is one of my favorite editions.
I think that was the first year I had it.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's good stuff, good stuff.
It is good.
All right, so the last topic here. So we all have seen the stories about the Oregon. Militia. Oregon. Militia.
Assholes, as some people know them. But yes,
occupying some public building there for a couple of weeks. Anyway, so being America, which is, God bless the Postal Service. So the one of the owners of Cards Against Humanity, they decided to ship a 50-gallon drum of personal lube to the compound that they're holding up in, you know, just to make sure that everything's all good. And you can see here that they just send it to the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. $1,200 worth of personal lube, 55 gallons of it. That on top of the inundation of dildos and bag of dicks that are also being sent by the fine people of America to this militia.
Have you heard what they've been saying, though? It's like, I don't know why these people are selling to us because, you know, I understand you're trying to make a statement, but all we're going to do is turn around and sell it and still make money off of you. So why are you wasting your money to try and insult us when we're just going to make money off of it? It's like, you're still selling dicks on eBay.
Yeah.
We're still getting our effect by doing so.
Oh, I love it. I just, yeah, let me bring it up here. Now, Gawker, Huffington Post had the stories here on sending the bag of dildos or the bag of dicks. And one of the organizers, John Reisenheimer. Anyway, I guess there's a whole bunch of Instagram drama going on too, like some stuff out of high school. So if you're on Gawker or some of these kind of gossipy sites, it is just a great read.
As a side note, Max Temkin is one of the people responsible for the Cards Against Humanity, and they have a well-renowned history of doing extremely humorous social advocacy in such matter, and this is just another example of what they've done. Mm-hmm. Fantastic on their behalf.
It's fantastic. So, Lee says here, gay hillbilly slip and slide. And on Twitter, because it's frozen here, but what is it here? He said you can never have too much lube, or everything's frozen here.
So technically, would this not be considered freedom lube?
Hey, 55 gallons, a big blue barrel drum of this stuff. I mean, water-based lubricant. I mean, you can't make a fire out of it. You can't. You just gotta lube up.
Well, I mean, you gotta keep that.
Hey, you know what? Maybe when the Federales storm the compound, they can lube themselves up like Runaway Train. You know that movie with John Voight?
You just got yourself a Home Alone situation. You know what you got? You got like you can see the FDA guys coming through, and suddenly, like the barrel of lube spills on them, and whomp. And then, like, you know, the chicken feather guns fire at them, and they get poof, covered in chicken feathers.
Jumping giant slip and slide.
Oh. Hey, Lee says here they can do a porn parody, The Hateful Eight. A lot of hateful. Roger's on to the Shipyard Monkey Fist IPA. So Shipyard Brewing from Maine. Yes, in some NSLCs here in the province.
Shipyard Monkey Fist. You had me at Monkey Fist, sir.
Well, on the can, it's a nice bright red can. You see a very angry monkey holding some hops. So there you go.
Okay, so that's something totally different then. Okay.
We're talking about beer. Okay.
Never mind. Keep going.
All right. So, okay, my Twitter app crashed on me.
Actually, two things I wanted to mention as we're coming to this side is that I'm sure lots of people have already talked about this, but I just wanted to make note of it too, that we lost two incredible artists this past week. Alan Rickman. Sorry. If you want to go to.
Let's do the two there, because this was a tough week there. Actually, they're all dropping.
Yeah, and the funny thing as well is both being 69 into cancer, too.
Yeah.
Well, so we had who do we have? We had Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, which just passed away yesterday. And then, of course, as the world talked about, David Bowie as well, which even more bizarrely is the fact that David Bowie has concealed his illness for 13 months and dropped a record shortly before his departure.
Well, I tell you, watching that Black Star video, super creepy. I mean, you watch it now, and the fact that he just did it, you know, like lyrics, and he knows he's going to die. But we have them, and then today I learned that Grizzly Adams.
Oh, died. That's so, news to me.
Also from cancer. So if you're a child, I guess in the 70s, you probably watched Grizzly Adams. So he died also of cancer. René Angélil, Celine Dion's manager, husband, also died of throat cancer this week also. I tell you, it's been a rough, cancer's been a rough week. It's been rough. Lee says here on the chat, his last record is great, by the way.
Yeah.
A total goodbye album. Yeah, no, I tried listening to a little bit here on Spotify earlier in the week, and it was a little tough. But did you guys notice David Bowie, when people are doing all the tribute stuff, they did not include any songs from the, you know, Let's Dance album, his big sales album from the 80s.
Yeah.
No China Girl, no Let's Dance, and
The last video was pretty cool, though. I wasn't a big fan of Bowie, but I mean, he had a lot of great songs. But the last video was pretty cool. No one, he knew he was gone type thing, and still put it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Again, I'm not a tremendous fan. Not because I didn't like his movie, music. I just never really followed. But I have great respect for what he's done, how he's moved media forward, and especially the various groups that he's represented. And he's sort of the icon of individuality.
And, he kept reinventing himself.
Yeah.
Right. He kept it fresh for 50 years.
And Lee says here on the chat, most people want to forget about his 80s output as well as the Tin Machine. He did a lot of good stuff in the 80s. You're talking about the duets with Bing Crosby,
yeah,
Jagger. You know, the Tin Machine stuff wasn't bad either, and, you know, his 80s pop album there. And, I mean,
that's what was popular in the 80s, though.
He did some good stuff in the 80s, yeah. And a lot of people in our age group, maybe a little younger, that's where they got the first taste of Bowie. Yep. Like, I was going to do the joke. I missed the opportunity to do the joke to say that, you know, David Bowie got popular with millennials when he was covering songs by Kurt Cobain and the Canadian astronaut there. You know,
Chris Hadfield.
Yeah, Chris Hadfield.
Well, there's actually Vox Media. If you ever watch the Vox videos on Vox, V-O-X, on YouTube, they did a really good video showcasing all the areas that artists throughout the years have been sampling David Bowie music within their own music. And it's incredible the amount of artists that actually utilized directly his sound.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels announced a limited edition single barrel brew Motorhead, and for Lemmy, who also died the week before.
And to add to that, even greater, scientists, goddamn scientists, actually want to name a new element, lemenium or something like that.
Yeah, the new element they discovered a few weeks ago. Yeah, they were going to name it something Japanese kind of based because I think it was discovered in Japan scientists, but the lemenium, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So, right. Yeah, so that way he'll be forever recorded upon the periodic table.
So, of course, tonight we see news about, you know, we're still on the cancer. Celine Dion's brother has terminal cancer.
What?
I tell you, cancer is hitting a lot of people this week, and, you know, having dealing with that here in the household this year with all that stuff. But the thing we must not forget, for people who don't know about Rene and Celine Dion, is that he was her manager when she was like 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And married afterwards. So just remember that, right? So
it's creepy.
A little creepy. There was a little creep factor for a few years.
But I can't say what I really want to say, but
he and Celine Dion are royalty to a certain portion of the populace. So I can see why there's such intense interest in what happened.
Well, you know, when she did her little song when John Paul II came to Canada with his big visit in the 80s, and they were in the Olympic Stadium, and she sang her song. You can probably find it on YouTube. I should probably get it here somewhere. Yeah. Une Colombe, I believe it was. Anyway. All right, Grease Stain, buddy, live chat, my man. Now, the downside of this YouTube chat is that once the Hangout is done, the chat is gone. Nothing is kept. No prosperity. You can, I guess you can type in whatever you want because it's not going to keep. I don't have any record of it afterwards. So.
So it's not like the comments on YouTube as before, like several months ago?
No. They disabled the actual YouTube comments, but they have this live chat, and which is really cool because I set Dan up as a moderator, which I don't know what he can do in it.
I guess I can flag people and wag my finger at them virtually, but that's pretty much it.
Look at that. There's an option here. I can remove. I can see his profile. I can block the user or put the user in the timeout.
Oh. That makes you a good Canadian.
But if it's if it's only in the chat, if you look at it and you don't want to read it, you don't have to.
You know, I might put Lee in the timeout. You know, he's never going to disagree on the David Bowie thing on the
Eagles. No. He says Zed, not Z, so he does not go into the timeout.
Yeah, Lee says here you can put regular YouTube comments on the video after process. Yes, that's true, but all the comments in the live chat, which used to go into the comments afterwards, you know, if you missed it, you want to read it, that's all gone now. So whatever is chat, we have a lot of chat here tonight, none of that stuff will show up after. So for people who want to watch the show.
Last week, Chief from McConnell Challenge said he missed the show, and that was the only comment on the YouTube.
Yeah. So it's not like there was nobody commenting. It's just we have people been commenting. It's just that you just don't see it. And there's no way for me to actually save the transcript or do anything like that. Yeah, it kind of sucks, actually. So with that, folks, hang on a sec here. Greasy says here, is that like when I was a kid and got to take a nap? Yeah, a little timeout for you. Oh, man. All right, so in terms of podcasts, for those who are listening to podcasts, you probably heard that Serial is on a bi-weekly schedule now.
Mm-hmm.
Any other podcasts you guys have been and people in the chat you want to recommend that you listen to that you kind of liked?
I've been listening to podcast Stuff You Should Know. Could be about anything. Like Dan's Dark Web. I want to find out about that. That's
you don't want to find out about Dan's Dark Web.
No, I don't. But they did have a show on the Dark Web. But there's it could be anything on that show, Stuff You Should Know.
The one I will recommend this week, it's called Imaginary Worlds. And this is a geek comic book movie kind of podcast. And this one was titled Inside the Snow Globe. So for those of us within my age group, we remember the TV show Saint Elsewhere. Mm-hmm. The last episode presented the snow globe, where the whole show could have been a fantasy from an autistic child. Mm-hmm. Tom Fontana, who also did a few other TV shows, was big into crossovers. So this episode is about crossovers and the idea that shows shared the same universe. And, Saint Elsewhere, Baltimore, Life on the Streets, The Wire, X-Files, mm-hmm. Cheers, all share the same universe. Imaginary Worlds. That's the name of that podcast. You want to check that out.
Okay, I'll check it out.
The one I would probably suggest is a relatively new one. It's called Surprisingly Awesome.
Oh, I've been listening to that.
And for those who don't listen to that one, it's, I forget, Adam McKay is one of the guys. I don't remember the other guy who's
He's like a comedian. I'm sure we saw his actual face. We will recognize him from whatever shows online. I listened to the last one, actually, about broccoli.
So the premise of the show is that they try and take the most inane subject matter, and they try to bring out amazing or highly interesting facts to actually make you interested in it, to making it surprisingly awesome to talk about that topic. So the broccoli one's pretty good, talking about how people are actually genetically disposed to either like or detest broccoli. The one I really liked was the previous episode, was talking about interest rates, how you can actually talk about interest rates and make them highly interesting. No pun intended. And it's a really good podcast and a quick one to actually jump into because it's relatively early in its infancy. So surprisingly awesome.
Yeah, because it's under a half hour, so a nice quick digestion. I didn't listen to that interest rate one. I must
listen to that one. That one's really good.
I did listen to the Tub Thumping, that 1990s song.
The reason why I'll say listen to the interest rates one, because the guy I mentioned earlier, Adam McKay, he's the one that directed the story, the movie The Big Short, which is all about the financial markets. So they have a vested interest in actually talking about interest rates and its importance in society today.
The other episode from Surprisingly Awesome was the one about concrete.
Mm-hmm.
The discovery of humans able to make concrete. That was the cement and all that stuff. So. Oh,
there's one
all
other
right.
podcast you're missing.
Mm?
Avoiding Choice podcast.
Oh, yeah, of course, the Avoiding Choice podcast.
That, it's the first podcast I ever listened to.
What?
That's true.
Actually, I haven't reviewed the set. Now, I'm sure we got a big drop-off because we did take a couple months break. Mm-hmm. But one of the interesting things about the podcast is that people like – there was quite a few people – there was we were on the upward path that more people listened to the podcast than watched the live stream, either live or replay. And then once we started doing the best of, it was slowly going down where – while the views for the video stream stayed about the same.
Yeah.
So starting in the new year, I'm just going to put a little thing at the beginning as an intro and then unedit, you know, don't edit the podcast. So we'll see what happens there. So
no, when I was at work, I just I download them when I get home and I take them out. And some of the shows were ones I was on, some were I was at work, so I wouldn't be there, but. Yeah. It was really interesting to listen to.
Well, you know, and same thing, like I mentioned a few times, and it's like there are a few episodes that when you listen to the podcast version mm-hmm. as compared to those who are watching us now,
mm-hmm.
if you listen to the podcast, it's almost as interesting, if not a little bit better, when you listen to it audio in your car or, you know, whatever. So pretty interesting that way. All right, boys, we're going to cap it off for an evening because we are – well, basically past our hour. We've gone through all of our topics. Nice, healthy chat discussion here, which unfortunately will all go away as soon as we're done. How can I keep this chat? There was some good stuff in here, too. Who's even a beer mug?
There was a beer mug.
What was there? There was something.
Something right there.
All right, we'll do this every Friday, folks. And thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the panel.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Yeah, keep up with the F and Hangout.
That's right, F and Hangout, hashtag on Twitter.
Good meeting.
Good meeting.
Good meeting.